Thursday, 23rd of January, Rav Yonis and Rudin, Parshas Mishpatim.
Good evening. Ve'ilah Mishpatim asher tasim lifneihem. Not sure if we're going to get past the Sedra name, let alone the first Pasuk. But it seems like the ultimate come down from Mamet Har Sinai, Kailis of Rakim, the whole light and sound Sinai experience. But as Jews, we get down to business straight away. Tachlis. It's no coincidence. The Vava Chibur Ve'ele Mishpatim, says Rashi, you know, it's connecting everything together. These Mishpatim were given on Sinai too. Just like the Aseres HaDibros are given on Har Sinai, these Mishpatim are given on Har Sinai, other mitzvahs might come later, but this is an integral part of Kabbalah Satorah. I just want to discuss this evening, the time that we have, perhaps an issue that we've discussed or considered before, but with a new nuance on it. The question is, what is the difference between a chayk and a mishpat? Now, even as children in school, we have a basic understanding. Mishpatim are the mitzvahs where we know the reasons, and chukim where we don't know the reasons. The problem is that definition does not work. Why not? Well, Shlomo HaMelech says, Amarti ech kama vehi rechayka mimeni. What was hi rechayka mimeni? Famously, the Parah Aduma, Matam the Taherim, Matah the Tmeim. So Shlomo HaMelech is saying, I know the reasons for everything, it's just this Parah Aduma that eluded me. So then for Shlomo HaMelech, there's only one chayk and everything else is mishpat. And what about us? Mishpatim are so logical? Are they really? Imagine the following case in mishpat, in chayshen mishpat. Your next door neighbour goes away. He goes away on holiday for a couple of weeks. And you've got a score to settle with him. So while he's away sunning himself on the beach somewhere, you break into his house. You break the lock and the door flies open. You put up a big sign by the front door saying, open house. And the door's swinging. And then over the next day or two, all the Ivrim Vashavim, all the passers-by are coming in. Everyone's coming in. And they're taking everything from the house. And they've emptied out the house. By the time this poor guy gets back from holiday, all he's got is a shell of a house. There's nothing else. The bookshelves are gone. The beds are gone. Everything's gone. I'm excited. Open the house. So what does he do? Finds out who did it. And he summons the next door neighbour to Beistin. Everything's gone. And what's the halacha? What does the neighbour owe him in din? Did the neighbour take anything? What did the neighbour take? Nothing. He was sitting at home minding his own business. All he did was he broke the lock. So what can the homeowner sue him for? Well, if the door is broken, could sue him for the broken door, but let's say it's just a problem with the lock and the lock is repairable. What is it? The price of depreciation of the lock, or he owes him a new lock, a new used lock. What does he owe? That's mishpat? That's logical? Groma benezikin pata. It was an indirect damage. You can't win in Beistin. That's mishpat. That's logical. Mishpatim are so logical. Doesn't really make sense. You know, more examples of mishpatim that don't seem so logical. We're more responsible for damage done by our animals than by our children. Salacha. There's Allah and Bava Kama, you learn through Bava Kama, and they're Ribuyim and they're Mi'utim. And where's the logic? You know, you've got Allah, you know, something's Toman Ba'esh, you know, it's Niske Esh, something's hidden, Batwa, you know, but Niske Bar is there's a Mi'ut of Shar Vala Adam, Chamar Vala Kainu. You can even have illogical Kal V'chaymas. I had a Rebbe in Yeshiva once, he used to give us examples of illogical Kal V'chaymas. Here's a Kal V'chaymas for you. My money belongs to me. So I can use it, and you can't use it. So therefore, you who cannot use my money but can use your money, kal v'chaymer, I should be able to use your money. That's a kal v'chaymer. Rechtek a kal v'chaymer, no? Works with the mechanisms of kal v'chaymer. Right, you've got a tzad kal, you've got a tzad chomer. Seems to be a genuine kal v'chaymer. It's not logical. Kal v'chaymer doesn't always work within the principles of logic. So then what's the difference between a chayk and a mishpat? And this is where it gets very interesting. It can't be that the difference between chayk and mishpat is that which we know and that which we don't know. There's a Gemara in Sota. There's a Tosfos in Sota Daf Yudalet. It's discussing Reb Shimon being Derish Taima Dekra. What does that mean, Reb Shimon is Derish Taima Dekra? In fact, interestingly, we don't go according to Reb Shimon who's Derish Taima Dekra. Right, we give Taime HaMitzvahs. The Sefer HaChinuch is busy giving reasons for mitzvahs left, right, and center. Reb Shimon's Taime Dekra doesn't mean we're just giving nice reasons and explanations for mitzvahs. Reb Shimon says, this, according to my understanding, is the reason for the halacha. And therefore, if the reason changes, the halacha changes. Therefore, the halacha is dependent on the reason for the halacha. That's in Darshaning Taime Dekra. Well, this is the Tosfos and Sota is talking about taking back the mashkenas from an almana. Right? If the whole reason is, if you get impoverished, what if she's not poor? That's the whole discussion there. We're not Dorish Taime Dekra across the board. But when it comes to mishpatim, there's an element which is present, and I'll explain what I mean. The chukim are a set of rules. L'mashal, you know, we also have some chukim in this week's Sedra too. That's a chayk. The context to the chayk is not actually particularly relevant. L'mashal, you know, you've got a woman's boiling up a pot of chicken soup, and mistakes happen, and a bottle of milk falls in the chicken soup. Sort of bad person, right? I think it's not a question of bad. There was no malicious intent there whatsoever where the milk fell into the meat. But there's a metzias to it. There's a metzias to Issa and there's a metzias to Heta. Or in this case, Heta beheta, which creates Issa. There's a metzias to it. And therefore, the fact that she had no malicious intent when the milk fell into the meat is irrelevant. Issa beheta, basa b'chalav, are a system of rules. They're chukim. You have to follow the rules. Context and intent do not define Issa v'heta. Mishpatim are not rules. Mishpatim are principles. Mishpatim are a collection of sensitivities which we then apply to different contexts and different intent. And when it comes to mishpatim, it's the context and the concept that counts. Right, that's why, perhaps, you know, the limud of Nashim and Nazikin, which we emphasize in the yeshivas, is very different to the limud of Kodshim. The limud of Kodshim, for anyone that's attempted it, it's not about sforas, it's about hagdoras. It's about definitions. You have a definition of different types of korbanas, different types of psalim, different types of machshavas. It's about defining things very, very well. You can't ask a kasha from a svara. This doesn't make sense. When it comes to the study of Nashim and Nezikin, we use our seichel and say, this is counterintuitive. It doesn't make sense. The svara doesn't work. You don't say svaras in Kachem. We say svaras in Nashim and Nezikin, which are mishpatim. With chukim, your heart and experience doesn't matter. It's about definitions. With mishpatim, the halacha is dictated by the principles. And therefore the limud of Nezikin, the limud of Mishpatim, is a process of becoming more sensitive. Every single limud in the three bavas in Seder Nezikin and Seder Nashim is a process of becoming more sensitive, of understanding more about the society that we live in, our interactions with other people, the way that we define ourselves, and the way that we interact with others. It's a set of principles that govern. And therefore, mishpatim are not a rule book. When it comes, therefore, to Bein Adam L'Chaveiro, and we learn the halachas of Bein Adam L'Chaveiro, every person, based on their experiences, has got something to say. Start to define the mitzvahs Bein Adam L'Chaveiro. Le'sikim ve'le'sitar v'ahavtarecha kamecha, le'sisnas achicha b'vavecha. These are based on the human experience. And therefore, human beings that are learning these sugyas bring something to the table on the basis of their experience. That's irrelevant when it comes to Hilchas Issa V'Hetta. That's irrelevant when it comes to Kodshim. It's irrelevant in the world of Chukim. It's incredibly relevant in the world of Mishpatim. So, Be'emes, it's not about what the real reason is for the mitzvahs. You know, the real reason for everything is that Hashem was mitzvah. That Hashem's Chachmasi Yisbarach is the reason for everything. And therefore, the same being that is responsible for the natural order of the world, that there's a rule of gravity, that masses attract, there are laws of nature, and there are spiritual laws of nature. There are laws of, there's a reality. And this is perhaps, you know, a very important nekidah the Chafetz Chaim brings in the Akdamah to Shmiras Halashen. The Issa V'Heta is not just something of cultural significance, it is not something just of emotional significance, there is a reality. Something happens, and that is a spiritual reality that is as real, if not more real, than the physical realities that we live in. There's Moshe Feinstein, he's about to walk out of the Beis HaMadrash, and he can't walk out. There's a wall in front of him. What's the wall? There's a person davening, and he breaks his Daladamas. For him, that spiritual reality was as real as the physical reality of it. And therefore, the process of learning those chukim is being sensitive to the rules, being sensitive to the fact that yirashamayim means I take that spiritual reality, I take it seriously. Another funny mice. I was once in the hospital with one of my children, and a lady comes up to me. And she's about 18, 19 years old with about a 5-year-old kid. And she says to me, I can see you're a religious person. Would you mind if I ask you a few questions? I'm studying it in college. So I said, yeah, of course, and that's what I do. So she asked, her first question is, what religion are you? So I realised it's going to be an interesting interesting conversation. So I explained that I'm Jewish. And she asked, do you go to church every week? So I said, actually, it's not called church, it's called synagogue. And we don't go every week, we actually go 3 times a day, at which point I won't repeat what she said. But are there different rules about what you're allowed to eat? So I thought, okay, I'll go for a simple one. Yes, we're not allowed to eat pork. So she said, well, why not? So I said, well, we actually believe that we are made up of a body and a soul. And for me to eat a piece of pork would do the same to my soul that drinking a bottle of rat poison would do to my body. She said, oh my gosh. Should I also not eat pork then? So I thought, if only Kirov was that easy. I said, no, we understand that there are different souls and Jewish people are sensitive to certain things, non-Jewish, it's totally fine for you to do that. Then the conversation carried on a little bit more, and then she kind of went on her way. But the point is that Issa V'Heta, there is a reality to that. So Mishpatim are not just mitzvahs with reasons. They're the concepts that give life and meaning to our day-to-day interactions, and they also build society. So it's Chachmasi Yisparach. Of course it works on a Ruchnius level that the Mishpatim are spiritual, give spiritual life, they give Chiyas, they give Nitzchiyas. That's on one level. And on another level, the Mishpatim build a functional society according to Hashem's plan. L'mashal. The Mishpatim will teach us how to fight and disagree and not hate. The Mishpatim will tell us how and when to give and when not to give. For example, and this is a big chiddush in the Gemara, which at first glance seems like it's not a chiddush at all. The Bavli is meramis to this, and the Yerushalmi says it more mafresh. The Gemara gives an example of kibud av v'ein. And you can have a situation where a person gives his father a beautiful gourmet meal and is not makayim kibud av v'eim, and he puts him to hard physical labor and he is makayim kibud av v'eim. Hacha b'maya skin, on what was the case? There was a gezeira from the Malchus that anyone who's unemployed, as a way of reducing unemployment rates, anyone that's unemployed has to go to the front lines in the army and has to go and fight. Anyone that does not have gainful employment. The child that gives his father a fancy meal to eat, when the king's messengers come along, they're going to schlep him off to the front lines. That's not kibud av v'eim. The other son puts his father to work on the rechaim shel yad, on the handmill, working like an animal, grinding that grain. He's mekayim kibud av v'eim, because in so doing, by putting his father to hard physical labor, he's saving his father from a fate worse than death. So 1 second. Excuse me. Isn't that obvious? Really? You need a Gemara for that? That's Pashat. I think if the Gemara wouldn't have said it, we'd have been able to figure that out. Agreed? That's not rocket science. So what's the Chiddush of the Gemara? What's the Chiddush of the Gemara? The Chiddush of the Gemara is that Kibud Av V'Eim is a Mishpat and not a Chayk. If it would have been a chayk, well, what do you mean? Rashi brings the Gemara. Machilu mashkehu machnisu metziya malbishu man iloi. The Torah says, kaved es avicha lesimecha, last week, etc. Give your father and mother a good meal. Azai shteit, zedakhtim. That's what it says, what I do. Give them a meal. The chiddush of the Gemara is that it's not a chayk. If it would be a chayk, there'd be a gezeirah from the king, sit your father down for supper. Come and schlep him away, not your achrayus. You just had to do what it said in the rule book. The answer is, mishpatim is not about the rule book, mishpatim is about the principles. And therefore the principle will define the mitzvah. And the chiddush of the Gemara is, yes, it might at first glance like you're not being mechabed, but that's called kibud because it's mishpatim. And the outcome is really what's going to define whether it was a mitzvah or not. Right? The mitzvah of machila or mashkehu, it's not limited to machilu and mashkehu, it's about taking care of the parents' needs. And therefore it's shaykh that there's a time to take care of the parents' needs by putting them to hard work, rather than sitting them down to a fancy meal. L'mashal. Right, you know, an example from the world of Kira, if you take a boy, it's Maisa Shahaya, true story, a boy from a very non-firm family was learning in yeshiva. And his parents thought he was, you know, a little bit odd for wanting to go and study in Jerusalem these ancient Talmudic texts. And he realized it was going, when he came home, Ben Osman, it was going to be a very difficult dynamic. So what does he do? So, you know, he's a real fresh Baal Tshuva. He decides, I'm going to really impress my parents. What are they going to be able to appreciate? Tefillin, forget it. Shabbos, no way. Kashrus, it's crazy. What will they be able to appreciate? He had a good svara and a good head. Kibud av v'eim, they'll appreciate. I will be the best son that I can be when I come home, Ben Osman, I'll be Makadish, I'll be a Kiddush Hashem, it will be wonderful, they'll appreciate what I'm doing, they'll let me go back for another year. So he takes a sefer, he takes one of these, you know, one of these books, and a handbook of Kibud Av V'Eim, and he reads through the book, he memorizes it, he learns it very well, and he comes home and he meets his parents, you know, he comes home to his parents, say, father looks very, very thirsty, would father like a drink? Would mother like me to bring... So it says you have to speak to your parents in the third person. It's a derech kibud, you speak to your parents in the third person. Would mother like her slippers brought to her? The guy's landed from the moon. If kibud av v'eim would be in the world of chayk, he'd be right. He didn't know. Not his fault. He didn't know the difference between a chayk and a mishpat. Because it's the world of mishpat, if the parents are not going to appreciate being spoken to in the third person, then speak to them in the second person. Because the mishpat is therefore defined by the context. Therefore it's so important to know the difference between a chayk and a mishpat. I'll say it the other way around as well. Lahavdil. There are schools of thought outside of Orthodox Judaism that say when the Bible was given, it was very unhealthy to eat pork. You know, in a desert, you know, pork meat gives off very, very quickly. It's very unhealthy. And therefore, when the Bible was given, it was very unhealthy. So the Torah says you're not allowed to have chaza. If it would be a mishpat, if kashrus, if Issa Beheta would be a mishpat, maybe they'd have a good svara. It's nice, a chayk. It's asa. Right? It's the same around. Now, you know, we go back to a Gemara I mentioned in the previous year in Torah Away, in the morning, with the story of Dama ben Nesina. Right? Funny story. All the kids come home learning the story of Dama ben Nesina. But it's half of a fella. If you were Dama's father, what would you have preferred? To be left sleeping or to make Shishim Ribu money? Right? Shishim Ribu dinner. He could have made a huge profit. But Dama lets him sleep. It's Meshuga. If Kibbutz Va'Aim would be a chayk, Dama ben Nesina would have been right. It's a mishpat. If it happens to you, wake him up, because that's what your father would want. So Taka, what's pshat in the Gemara? Pshat in the Gemara is, we're not learning how Hilchas Kibbutz Va'Aim from Dama ben Nesina. He's not even Jewish. He's an Ebed Kachavim Ba'Ashkelon. He's not Jewish. Elamai, the Kiddush of the Gemara is Ad Heicham. How dedicated the son would be to his father. His dedication was genuine. We don't know the halacha from him. Dama ben Nesina sees it as a chayk. My father's asleep, I mustn't wake him. He'll make millions of pounds. You're sleeping. Not allowed. He sees it as a chayk. It's not, it's a mishpat. It's another mashal. You know, it's a mitzvah to learn people things. Im kesef talva. It's a mitzvah to learn people things. So you have a neighbor knocks on your door, day in, day out. And he does it around the neighborhood. In fact, he doesn't actually own anything, because he just borrows everything from everybody else. Right, and sometimes he brings it back, and sometimes he doesn't. But there's a mitzvah to lend him. If there's a mitzvah to lend him, surely you got to give him. Every time he knocks on the door, bag of sugar, cup of sugar, tea bag, you name it, he wants it. So what's the halacha? Are you meant to lend him or not? So there comes a point where it's actually not good for him. This is a mishpat. Lending people something is a mishpat, and therefore it's got limitations. No, another one. So if he's irresponsible, if he's an irresponsible person, you're not really helping him by feeding his unhealthy habits. And therefore the concept of the mitzvah is to help the person. So of course, in general, someone asks you for something, if it's good for them, lend it to them. Of course, chesed. But if you see that actually lending it to them is not good for them because this chesed is a mishpat, of course you shouldn't lend it to them. He's an alcoholic, begging for money on the street. Well, you're going to give him money so he should buy more alcohol? What for? That's not helping him. It's interesting. V'alachta bidrachav. Maral asks a kashan v'alachta bidrachav. Ma'u chanu nafata, you should be chanu, all the nice stuff. Hashem is rachum, Hashem is erech apayim, we should emulate Hashem. Maral asks, also there's a kel nekamos Hashem. Hashem's kel nekamos Hashem. So why, maybe you should emulate that too. Maral answers, no, Hashem is only good. Hashem is goyim al chasadim tovim. Hashem is always doing chesed. It's just sometimes it's tough love. Sometimes Hashem expresses that love in that way. Chesed is not just to give. The mitzvah of being goyim al chasadim is to care. And sometimes when we care, we have to show tough love. There has to be a cheshbon there, because by helping, we could end up harming. That's the world of mishpat. We're only meant to give where it's good and not where it's harmful. All of these things can only be said in the world of mishpatim. And therefore, a limit of the halachas of nezikin, a limit of the mishpatim of the Torah, the mishpatei Hashem emes, magidirav liyakad chikav mishpatav liyisrael, is a limit which isn't about memorizing information. A person wants to be a Meira Hira, be able to paskin shayres in Issa Vehete in Kashrus, person has to learn Yerudea and memorize the information. That's what it is. Many different situations, many different circumstances, many, many, many different shitters. At the end, it's a rule book. It's a complicated rule book, but a rule book nonetheless. Ben Adam L'Chaveira Mishpatim is not about the rules, it's about the principles. Mishpatim, by opening our hearts and becoming more sensitive to Hashem's view of man in society. Ultimately, by doing that, we become elevated higher beings. Ultimately, through fulfilling Hashem's mishpatim, we become like Hashem himself. Mahu af ata, sensitive to the needs of others, being able to give to others in a healthy way. Not just through learning the rules, but by being sensitive to the principles. So really, you know, it fits so nicely with Matan Torah. This is Matan Torah in practice. And to be a Yid, is to be a descendant of Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu's Midah is Chesed. And it's funny, really, maybe Avraham Avinu's Midah should have been Emunah. But really, they're two sides of the same coin. Avraham Avinu's Chesed is an expression of his Emunah. He's involved with this world. He's Goymal Chasadim. He brings people to Chaskamfei Ashkena through his Chesed, but it's an expression of his Emunah. These Mishpatim that we're learning are not just like any old social contract. It's not just social contract, Hobbesian theories. It's not just social contract theory. How people can get along well so we can have a functional society so we don't kill each other. Magid Rav Liakov Chukav Mishpat of Yisrael is that we're learning to build a society based on Hashem's principles. And it's not just about with Mishpatim, it's not about blindly following the rules. It's about sensitizing ourselves to a world. The Chachmas HaTorah, Chachmas HaBeira infiltrates and permeates every single detail of interaction with others. Chance.